tending to do this ever since they've combined operations here, and we have all the Cumulus stations under one roof in Dallas and Fort Worth. And one of the legendary stations is WBAP. As a matter of fact, it's one of the oldest stations, I think, in Dallas-Fort Worth. And we wanted to get the legend on from WBAP,
Easy.
Hal J. And he's in studio right now.
Easy.
Wow.
Easy. Yay.
I don't want the pressure.
Can it's you believe on. We are now co-workers?
I just can't believe it. I can't believe it because I'm going to be honest with you guys. Every day I'm in Tyler's office, and I know he's monitoring this right now. And he's our boss at BAP. So, okay, what can we do to get men listeners from the ticket? We need what else can we do? What else can we do? You got a great radio station here.
Oh, well, thank you.
We've been trying to be like Hal J all these years. That's all we've been trying to do.
Oh, listen, stop it.
We've been talking about cousins and stuff like that.
Oh, he's got a cousin?
Yeah, he's got a cousin.
You don't understand that Hal has a racist female cousin. Yeah. Her name's Bertha.
Bertha?
Bertha Venation.
You guys are going to do me while I'm here, aren't you?
No, I know what's coming. No.
Steve Lamb said, be careful of Gordo. He said, be careful of what they're going to do.
No, so, we're not going to do anything untoward to you, Hal. No,
you're not fans.
So how long have you been working in Dallas, Fort Worth?
1980. I was born and raised in Fort Worth. And then got to Memphis, Tennessee for about 7 years, 73 to 80, and came back here in 1980 and turned The Wolf, one of our stations.
99.5?
99.5. I turned it. I was hired to turn it into a country music station.
What was it called back then?
K-Plex.
Okay,
We just called it K-Plex. Mm-hmm. And did that for 9 months and then got a call from BAP to come program it.
And so you were a program director of BAP?
Yeah, I was program director for about 9-10 months.
And you hired yourself as the morning guy?
No. I got bumped out of PD because at the time the general manager and I didn't get along. Oh. You know? And, he hired me to do a job and he kept telling me how to do it. And I said, no, I don't want to do it that way. And he said, well, I'm the boss. I said, I know that, but you hired me to do this. Uh-huh. So let me do it. And if it's not good, fire me. You know? Well, he didn't like that. So he said, yeah, we're going to make a change. And he brought in another PD, but they put me in morning drive in 1981.
And the rest is history.
And the rest, God, was that great? Do y'all get stories like that very often?
Awesome story. Tell it again.
Yeah, tell that again.
All right. So you start in morning drive and you start doing this. And this is what's always fascinated us about you, is that for years and years and years, you did morning drive and afternoon drive. You did a split shift.
My wife, God bless her. We were at dinner one night with the boss, and he said, well, if we could get the afternoon drive numbers the way our morning numbers are up, the station would really be in good shape. And Ann said, why don't you just let Hal come back and do it in the afternoon?
Did you tell her to shut up and drink more wine?
I said, what's the matter? Yeah, exactly. You know, I said, you know, she just Dave Barnetted right there in the front of the original.
Oh, let's not call it that.
Okay. How is Dave?
I think he's doing okay.
He's going to be all right. He's in critical condition, and you're making jokes.
No, I'm not. So Ann has this moment, and they said, well, we're going to try it for 1 year. We'll put you in there for 1 year, see if, and you know, and it sounds like I'm, this is very humbling. I mean, they did that to get the ratings up, and you know, radio. Thank you very much, and it worked. And I, you know, thank you to the people that listened to do that, that did that. But it went on for 13 years.
Wow, God Almighty,
man! Yeah.
And then Tyler Cox came in and realized that veins were popping out of my head, and you know, I was tired.
And did you guys do Sam from Sales every day? Back in the heyday, you did it every day. A morning and an afternoon bit?
You know what? Let me think. The morning bit, we never did Sam. Because that was John Hansen. He was the production director, and he didn't come in the morning.
Okay.
So we just did him in the afternoon. And then it became so popular that they took John out of production and put him on both morning and afternoon drive. And then for a while, we did both morning and afternoon.
Wow.
And
Sam would be on twice a day?
Yeah, we did Sam twice a day.
Wow.
Two different stories, two different, you know, we never did the same one twice.
You would write Sam.
Yeah. And our producer upstairs, Sean Chastain, Sean and I would write it and have more fun just doing that because it's crazy.
It's got to be the most legendary character in Dallas radio history.
Oh, come on.
Seriously.
George.
Hey, we were at KRLD back in the day, and we used to work with people, and that's what they would do. They would bring in recordings of Sam from Sales, and they'd make us listen to it.
Well, you're being very kind to say that. I don't know how it took off, because we got it from an Eddie Murphy movie, Beverly Hills Cop. You know,
and the wedding planner, or that guy in that thing, or what was that character?
Remember when Eddie Murphy walked into the restaurant, and he said, "Yes, please tell Mr. So-and-so something's going to be falling off on his body if somebody." You remember that scene?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of talking like a
Serge
gay guy.
Or whatever that guy's name
Serge,
was.
Like Serge, or whatever. Yeah. Well, John Hansen walked in talking like that one morning. I said, "You know, that's kind of funny. Let's just do something real quick on the end." He goes, "What are you going to call it?" I don't know. I said, "You can be Sam from Sales." All this took about 30 seconds. And it's just weird.
And you did it twice a day for forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you finally took him out back and behind the bar and put a bullet in his head.
And then, yeah. That was Tyler. Hey, there was a time when we were trying to hire you.
That's right. That was one of the first, I think, interviews that I had of someone outside of the ticket who wanted to hire me. It was, I went to lunch with you and your boss, Tyler Cox.
Yeah.
You knew in 5 minutes that was a bad idea, didn't you?
No, because Gordo's so talented, it's crazy.
Yeah, you know? He is crazy.
Oh yeah, and we'd lost John because John moved back home to Wisconsin or something. It happened. I can't remember what it was, but you know, I knew we wanted to try to replace John, and Gordo was doing everything,
and so, ended up staying here. These guys,
and you stayed right here, and what a great decision you made.
Yeah, it worked out.
What
I
a
guess.
Great decision you made.
Yeah, I would have gone over there and gotten fired within 2 months.
I doubt it very seriously.
I don't know. Let's get a time machine and see how it would have worked out.
You would have been physically attacked by Hal a few times.
Probably. Yeah. All right, now Hal J joining us in studio from our sister station, WBAP. Now, during commercial break, you were telling us, we were both sharing a lament about working morning drive, and that's where you want to be in radio. That's the prestige and all
get
that
up
sort
and
of
get
thing.
A, yeah, do that.
But it kills you. That's the thing. It physically takes its toll on you, and you were sharing with us about that, and you had a very public health incident.
Yeah.
And you think it's directly attributable to working morning drive.
I didn't know I had heart disease, but I did. Plus, you combine that with my bad habits of smoking at the time and not getting the right proper sleep. I mean, I would get up and be on the air at 5 o'clock and go to bed at 10:30, 11. And finally, the doctor, after the heart attack, he said, "Well, you can't do this. You've got to get 8 hours sleep in a row, not 5 and 3 or 4 and 4. You've got to go to bed, and you got to do it." And so I've disciplined myself to do that. I go to bed at 7 o'clock every night.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I go to bed at 7 o'clock every night. And
so here we are watching NBA games till 11 o'clock at night.
Because you have, and I will tell you that I will worry for you, because you're going to have to quit doing that somehow.
I know.
Because you got to get your rest.
Why don't we let's stop watching games and we'll come in the next morning and pretend they didn't happen.
Heck,
that's your guys' whole world.
Gordon doesn't do it
anyway. I do that already, and I don't get 8 continuous hours of sleep.
Yeah, but anyway, so and maybe it was just me, but I also had heart disease that I didn't know about. So the doctor told me, he says, "You know, your heart attack would have happened no matter what. I just sped the process up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was going to happen."
And what were you out on the lake?
How's that, PK?
You're at Possum Kingdom. You're out on your boat.
Yeah, no, I was on the dock. I just got through being pulled behind the boat on one of those big float things.
Yeah,
and
how big a float did they have to pull you on?
See,
gonna need a bigger float.
Did you displace most of the water in the lake?
Gonna need a bigger one. So I got pulled back. See, you can make jokes. So I got pulled back to the dock, and as I was walking up to the house, I thought, golly, that doesn't feel very good. I got indigestion or something. And within 2 minutes, I knew what it was.
Wow.
Yeah. It's scary out there, PK. My oldest son got me over, called an ambulance, met the ambulance halfway between Mineral Wells and PK, got in the ambulance. They gave me a shot of, gave me a nitroglycerin pill, and got me to Mineral Wells. $11,000 helicopter ride from Mineral Wells to Plaza Medical Center in Fort Worth.
Wow. At $11,000, that would have made him tour around a little bit more.
Exactly. Well,
hey, don't go to the hospital just yet. I want to see some stuff.
Go by Hell's Gate first.
Yeah. And the in-flight lady was ballpark. Horrible. And the flight attendant was fat and old. So,
so did you just feel, was it just tightness in your chest?
Yeah, real tight burning. Real tight burning.
And did it go down your left arm?
No, never had that. Didn't have that. It was just right there in the center where your chest is. Not over to the left side where most people think your heart is. I mean, your heart's kind of right in the center.
Right.
And it was right there.
Were some of your arteries occluded? I mean, did you have the constricted arteries?
Yeah, they were shut. And
how much shut? Like
90%? 90. You're talking 95%.
God almighty.
Yeah, it was a mess.
But all's well now?
All's well now, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, you know, I just got through having a physical last week. Because we have to do that for our company, I believe.
Do we?
You know, with the new sign-ons, we have to have a physical by the end of this month.
And you're over 40, so you have to get the going in from both
59.
Ways.
59.
Oh, are you really 59?
59. Do I look it?
I thought you were 70.
No, you be honest with me. 50, you saw, you up 57?
No, I knew the, I said 70-something.
Yeah, but, yeah, dang it. Yeah, 59. How long have you guys been doing this, though? You're legendary
years.
On the ticket.
Morning since 95, and then on the air since 94. Yeah,
ticket's 18 and a half years old.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like since 1980 like you, but that's a long time.
Well, no, but anything, that's awesome.
When did you first hear about the ticket and everything? Because we were really a...
I would have signed on.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You were the first.
Mm-hmm.
And being a radio guy, you were the first. And also, I was thinking, you know, this is a great concept, but the signal at 1310 at the time was
It'll
iffy.
Never work.
Still is. Still is.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
But you all have powered up.
It's a little
up
better and, than it was then. Yeah. But
you've powered up and everything.
A little bit.
Yeah. You have. Okay. So I thought to myself, well, that's going to be the only drawback, but... If they can get around the power problem, the ticket will be a major legendary player because of the first. Mm-hmm. And you guys were the first. It's a great radio station. It's a great radio station. I have a stepsister. I have a stepsister.
Oh, yeah. What's her name?
Huh?
Is she dirty? Is her name Anita Bass?
You have one too?
Yeah.
No, her name's Lisa, and she loves, at one time, let's see, was Norm on KLIF at the time?
Mm-hmm.
I believe so.
And we used to prank call him.
Yeah, you do?
We used to.
She goes, well, I'd listen to you every morning, but I like to listen to Norm. You know?
Oh, thank you so much for that.
That's awesome.
That's fake Norm. I don't know.
Fake Norm.
George does fake Norm. He does the best fake Norm now. Huh? He's kind of taking that over.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to borrow you guys now because we got to do fake Norm on the air.
Norm from sales.
Yeah. You did your show for years and years with Dick Siegel. He was up in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Do you guys still keep in touch?
I hadn't talked to Dick in years. I believe Sieg is like 74 years old now.
Is he really?
And he still does a radio show, I think, in El Dorado, Texas. He'll drive out. Do the show Monday through Thursday, and then him and his wife live in Granbury.
Hmm.
And I get asked about Sieg a lot, but we just hadn't, you know, you drift apart, and we haven't seen each other in a long time. Greatest pilot I've ever known.
Was that a tough working relationship, though? I mean, difficult.
We were night and day, mm-hmm. you know, as far as our lifestyles and everything. But for some reason, and yeah, we used to get into fights and everything, but for some reason it worked out. You know, as crazy as he was and as crazy he thought I was, for some reason it worked.
Yeah, on-air chemistry.
You guys are great on-air chemistry.
But he, gosh almighty, he could fly anything.
Yeah?
You know, we just had a JetBlue, I think, have problems last night because they lost all the hydraulics.
Mm-hmm.
We were up in the helicopter one time at about 1,000 feet or so, and all the hydraulics went out of that. And when that happens, I mean, I don't know if you've ever, if you're a pilot or not.
I am, yeah.
Hydraulics go out, and it's no power steering, and it's a bad deal.
Wow.
And
did y'all fall?
No. We didn't fall. We still had the power. And one time he lost all power and landed it off the highway in Fort Worth, off of a highway in Fort Worth.
So
no
how often, but you were in studio, and he was in the...
Yeah. I was just up flying around with him, having a good time.
How many times did you do that?
Oh, he taught me how to fly it.
Really?
You know, you can fly a helicopter?
No. I could get up and go around with him and turns and do all that. But No, I'd never got a license or anything.
When did BAP stop playing country music? Because when you started there, you were playing country music on the morning show.
I'm guessing it's got to be mid-90s, 94-ish or 95, is when Tyler came on board and kind of saw the writing on the wall with all the FMs playing country music. It was, you know, it was a death wish for us to keep doing that and try to compete with the stereo signals. And this was before Sirius and XM and things like that. So it would have been a bad deal for us to keep playing music.
Do you miss playing music? Or you like just yakking?
I like yakking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we don't play music. I love doing this, and I love getting on the air with the guys upstairs.
Excuse me. Here's the second heart attack. Are you okay?
You know what? He's a sick man, isn't he?
There's
nothing sacred.
No, you would have cleaned his clock 6 days into working with him back in the 90s. I know you would have.
Golly. I don't even know where I was at now.
I don't either.
You like yakking.
You're about to lay down.
We have a great time up there. You know, we have to talk sometimes more seriously than I want to. Brian Estridge, my partner.
Brian Estridge.
I don't know what you saw then, but he's listening.
That's tremendous.
So he takes politics as sports. He looks at it as a game.
Mm-hmm.
Who's winning today? Who's winning? You know,
you don't really care.
And I do my very best to look at it like that, but politics makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
You know, they make me nuts because I don't trust any of them anymore.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Right. We're with you.
And it's a great country, and it's a great system, but it just, something's happened.
Well, I listen to you every morning driving into work.
Do you really?
I do.
You're the one.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I do. I listen to you. I listen to Brian.
I listen to
Steve Lamb have no sense of urgency trying to get into a sports cast. I listen to the whole thing.
You know, I'm going to have to put up with this when I go back up on the fifth floor.
Yeah.
They're all going to say it. All right, don't we have a good group? I mean, through all the transitions and everything and the craziness of the new studios and all the problems that we're having on the inside nobody knows about.
Yeah.
Is there anything else after this statement? Don't we have a good group of people?
Yes,
it's amazing the group of people that we have.
We have a lot of longevity in this cluster. We got Terry Dorsey over there who's been around for forever. You've been around forever. We've been around forever.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know any.
And there's a revolving door over at the Wolf, I think. I'm not sure what's happening.
Ever since Hal left, the Wolf hasn't been the same.
They're still settling. They're settling, you know.
Well, thanks for stopping by.
Oh, it's just a pleasure.
We've run out of time.
It is a pleasure. All right, guys.
Thank you, Hal.
Grab the candy dish of nitroglycerin on the way out. Just pick one out.
All right, thanks.
All right, that's the great Hal J. in Gordo's Corner. It's 9:35 on the ticket. Coming up.